Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
And I want you to say this after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am, and I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed, therefore I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer, therefore I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart and I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to take that same Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke chapter 19. And we're continuing our journey to the cross. And today I want to highlight that it's all about the one. And here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, it opens up with a fascinating story. And if you've been in church any length of time, and maybe you grew up in church, you remember in kids' church the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. How many remember singing that song in kids' church? Maybe you're new to church. And maybe you don't know the story of Zacchaeus yet, but I can't wait to tell you about this wonderful story of a man whose life was forever changed because of an encounter that he had. And to really understand Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, you have to know what is taking place in the previous chapter. In chapter 18 of Luke, Jesus is encountered with a man who obeys the law. He's a rich man, and he has plenty of wealth, has need of nothing. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "I keep the commandments. I obey the law. I honor my father and my mother. And I do all these things. But what must I do?" And Jesus looked at him. And Jesus spoke a word specifically for this man. "Sell everything you have. Give it away. And come follow me." And the scripture tells us that he held his head low because he could not part with his wealth. He couldn't surrender it. Now, I submit to you, it had nothing to do with his money. It had to do with the position of his heart. Even though right after this, Jesus said how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, the followers of Christ, the 12, were offended by this. And they said, "What do you mean? Then what about us, Lord? We've given up houses and we've given up family. We've given up our homes. We've followed you." And Jesus encourages them and says, "Hey, everything you've ever given up, God's going to bless you." And how many can testify that when you surrender something to the Lord blesses you in return? How many can testify the goodness and the faithfulness of God? But it's in that discourse that Jesus said that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Actually, when the pilgrims would make their way to Jerusalem for holy festivals like the Passover, Jerusalem was up in the mountains. Jericho was located more down by the Dead Sea. So literally, whenever you're walking from Jericho to Jerusalem, you are ascending. And you'll notice some of the psalms that you have and some of the psalms you read are called ascending psalms. So other words, these are the songs that the Israelites would sing when they traveled in groups together to Jerusalem for the holiest of days. You see this when Jesus was a child, around 12 years old. He's with his family, and they go to Jerusalem for a festival. And it's there that Jesus, or they lose Jesus. He didn't get lost. He knew exactly where he was. Amen? But no doubt, as they are ascending to Jerusalem, these are some of the songs that Jesus himself would be singing. And maybe they're singing one of these songs as they get to the outskirts of Jericho. And chapter 18 closes with Jesus healing a blind man. And then we pick up as he's walking in the town of Jericho. Verse 1 of Luke 19, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region. He had become very rich. Now, this is why I say that it had less to do with riches. It had more to do with the position of the heart. Because I believe God wants you to be blessed. I believe God wants to bring a prosperity and health to your soul, even as your soul prospers. I believe God has great things for you. But what is the position of your heart? We see one rich man had to turn away, but we're about to see another rich man has an encounter. And the only difference you can see is the position of their heart. Verse 3, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Any of you have that problem? Pastor Dennis. I'm just teasing. It's my bad. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road. I don't care. That was funny. It just came out of the blue. I wish you could hear my mind. I wish you could. No, I really don't wish you could hear my mind. For Jesus was going to pass that way, and when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. Did you get that? He called him by name. Someone needs to hear that. He called him by name. Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. I told the early service, if you believe in underlining in your Bible and highlighting in your Bible, highlight that phrase, I must be a guest. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. If I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Now notice verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. The mission of the Son of Man is to come to seek and save those who are lost. Yes, Jesus, the gospel is about the multitudes, but it's also about the one. And I'm going to ask you to project yourself into this story today. I want you to see the phenomenal truth that the gospel of Luke shows us in great detail. And you see a contrast between two rich men that had plenty of money. One went away disappointed. The other went away transformed. And my hope and my prayer today is that we will leave this place transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. It was not their riches which separated them. It was the direction of their hearts. Notice in the notes that you received when you came in, let's talk about the background just for a moment. Write the word Jericho. By the first century, Jericho had become a town that was thriving. It had become a city. It was an important city on the trade route that ran to and from Jerusalem. Jericho was a city with a lot of commerce. So it makes sense why a chief tax collector was in the city living there. Now let's talk just a moment about tax collectors. Tax collectors, from the Jewish standpoint, first century Judaism, they despise tax collectors because these were men who were born Jewish, but they felt like they sold their soul to the devil by aligning themselves with the Roman government. See, the average Jew didn't like being oppressed by the Romans. They didn't like any other nation ruling over them, much less one of their own people coming underneath their authority and exacting taxes from them. So you could see the animosity and the thought of the average Jewish family, especially those who were religious. They despise tax collectors. You see this if you back up a few chapters in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel. It opens up with these words in verse 1. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. There was something about this teaching of Christ. There was something about the authority of Christ. There was something about the way Jesus taught that those who knew they were lost, that those who knew they were sinful, that others had counted them out, they were drawn to Jesus. In verse 2, it says, this made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he, talking about Jesus, was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. How many are thankful that Jesus was willing to associate with the tax collector, with the sinner, with the one that was hurting, the one that was broken? I want to be honest with you. I have a hard time identifying with the rich man in chapter 18 because I've never been rich and I've never considered myself as righteous. Never have. Now, I can identify more with Zacchaeus because he was looked upon as someone who done something wrong, somebody who wasn't doing the right thing. Somehow, I can identify more with his population than I can with the one who thinks that they're just better than everybody else. But the truth is, Jesus came to save both. Jesus came to offer salvation to the rich man that thought he was better than everyone else. He was just as lost as Zacchaeus, who was identified by the others as a notorious sinner. So we see as Jesus walks into Jericho, he runs into this man, Zacchaeus. Write that name, Zacchaeus. Now, verse 2 tells us Zacchaeus had a challenge, and the challenge was he was too short to see over the crowd. So the implication is this: he wanted to see Jesus, he was looking to see Jesus, but just because of his circumstances, he could not peer over the crowd. The implication is he didn't just want to look at Jesus. He wanted to get close enough to touch him, close enough to be in his presence. And maybe you're here today, and I want to encourage you. Listen, get close enough to him that you can be in his presence. Get close enough in him that you can feel him touch you. Get close enough to him that you can reach out and touch Jesus. So here he had a problem. He was a chief tax collector, meaning he was in charge. He had placed a bid with the Roman government. He had won that bid. And historians tell us that probably he had other men working for him, collecting the taxes. So Luke tells us that he had become a rich man. Now, we can infer how he became a rich man by different ways. One is, tax collectors were known to skim off the top. They were just known to do that. Also, possibly, another way he became rich is the Roman government looked at him with favor and just gave him contracts whereby he could be comfortable in life. Now, we don't know how he became rich. We just know he was. And we know that the average person didn't like him. The religious leaders despised him. He wanted to see Jesus, but he had a dilemma. He was a tax collector. Other people didn't want to be around him. And then he was too short. He couldn't see. It's a real problem. A real problem. I've never experienced it. Years ago, I preached on this topic, and I stated this. I want to state this again. Remember, the devil knows your name, but God calls you, and he calls you. So the devil knows your name, and he calls you by your sin. God knows your sins, but calls you by your name. Zacchaeus. See, the enemy knows your name, but he always brings up your past. He always brings up why you came, why you're not good enough, why you don't measure up, why you don't belong in the crowd that seeks Jesus. The devil calls out your sin. Jesus knows your sin, but he calls your name. And I want you to see this today. Look at the encounter that takes place. Write the word curiosity. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. Verse 3 says he tried to get a look at Jesus. In other words, he wanted to see Jesus. Now we know that one of the disciples of Jesus, Matthew, was a former tax collector. So maybe Matthew knew Zacchaeus, and maybe Zacchaeus had heard of the stories of the miracles, and maybe he heard from Matthew some of the powerful teachings of Christ, and Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus for himself. Maybe he had just heard about these things, and maybe he didn't know Matthew at all. But there was a curiosity in Zacchaeus to see Jesus. Now write this word, determination. And I need you to see this. See his determination, because determination often predicts outcome. What are you determined to do? What drives you? And in this story, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He's searching for Jesus. He's looking for Jesus. Maybe it's out of curiosity. Maybe he wanted to know what he looked like. Maybe he wanted to get close enough just to be in his presence. But there's a curiosity and there's a determination. So he was willing to do something a little bit different. He knew he couldn't see him because he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a tree. I thought about this. Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but it was really Jesus who was seeking him. You know, we come to church and it's a great thing, it's a powerful thing. We should be in the house of God. And we come often with the idea, I want to seek Jesus. But I want you to get this picture in your mind that Jesus is seeking you. The Father is seeking you. As much as you are seeking Him, as much as you are running after Him, God's heart is toward you. God's heart is to bless you, to help you, to encourage you, and to meet you where you are. Zacchaeus was willing to do something different. I think when we come to the house of God, sometimes we got to just shake it up a little bit. Sometimes we just got to change it up. What tree are you willing to climb? Now, let me explain that. There's no trees in here, so now I'm not talking about a physical tree. But what are you willing to do just a little bit different? Are you willing to raise your hands? Are you willing just to step out in the aisle and just, you know what, just give a little dance? Maybe when they're singing that song, He Turned My Life Around. You know, you turn your life around like that. See, often these movements determine our determination. It shows our effort. It shows that we're pursuing the goodness of God. And can I tell you, when you pursue God, you will encounter Him. And that's the story of Zacchaeus. The story of Zacchaeus is, yes, Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. And there's a lot of things happening politically and in the community. And there's still a long ways to go to Jerusalem. But here's Jesus. He has time for the one. And it's here that we see the change. Verse 6, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. And that was a response to what Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I must be a guest in your home. Now, the construction of that Greek language there, I must, deo, and it means this. We see it in a couple other places in Scripture. One, you'll find in John chapter 4. As Jesus with his disciples, they're traveling, and Jesus said, hey, I've got to go through Samaria. And the disciples said, oh, no, Jesus, we don't do that. We're Jewish, you know. Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. We walk around Samaria to go where, to get where we're going. We'll go around our elbow and around our backside to get to the next place, but we are not going through Samaria. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I must. I love the old English. I must needs go through. And the construction of that word is this. There's a compelling. There was something inwardly pulling Jesus. There was something inwardly calling him. We know that to be the movement of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit had an encounter awaiting because there was a woman at the well that needed to know that her life was not too far spent for Jesus to use. And aren't you thankful that God loves us enough that He would send the Son of Man through Samaria to the woman at the well so that she would know that her life was worth dying for? Well, this is that same word that He looks up at Zacchaeus and He calls him by name. Get down. I must be a guest in your house. Get this in your spirit today. His mission is to seek and to save the lost. This was a powerful teaching to the disciples, to the apostles. They had just saw one rich man put his head down in shame and leave. And they're about to see another rich man pursue Christ and be transformed. Write this under B. The change often begins in the pursuit and culminates with an encounter with Jesus. The change often begins in the pursuit and culminates with an encounter with Jesus. At this moment, Zacchaeus has been pursuing. He'd done something unorthodox. He'd done something that was different. He'd done something that was, others would think, well, that's real strange. Well, there's old Zacchaeus. Look at that chief tax collector. What is he? He's climbing a tree. What in the world is that man doing? Why are they shouting? Why are they jumping? Why are they lifting their hands? Why are they crying for? Why are they shouting during a song? Why are they getting excited? See, other people don't understand because they don't know what you've been through. They don't know what you've experienced. They don't know how Jesus has already changed your life. They don't know what he brought you from. See, they may have looked at Zacchaeus and thought he was crazy, but he was doing something that was going to get the attention of Jesus. And right when Jesus got where Zacchaeus was, he stopped, called him by name. He said, I feel compelled by the Holy Ghost. I feel compelled by the Spirit of God to be a guest in your house. The very thing that Zacchaeus was looking for, he received because he was willing to go further than the next person. Are you willing to go further than your neighbor? Are you willing to go further than others? Are you willing to do what is necessary to have an encounter with Jesus? See, it's about the one. Yes, he died for the world. He died for the multitude, but he wants an encounter with you. He wants a relationship with you. And that's the story of Zacchaeus. And it's here that we see in the dusty streets of Jericho. We remember the city of Jericho. It was in Joshua. It was in Joshua that the Israelites surrounded Jericho for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched around Jericho 7 times. And that seventh time they gave a shout, the walls of Jericho came down. God gave Israel victory in Jericho. But we see a little glimpse of hope. Rahab had placed a scarlet rope in the window. She was saved. Those in her house were saved. Fast forward another 1,000, 1,500 years. In the heap of those ashes, Jericho was rebuilt. And the King of Glory enters to the streets of Jericho. He just had an encounter with a rich man. He was Jewish, had a pedigree, done everything right. But he missed. Because he wouldn't give everything to the Lord. Jesus had just healed a man blind at the gates of Jericho. You can imagine the excitement, the crowd surrounding him. And Zacchaeus, rich man himself, but with a different heart, climbs a tree just to get a glimpse. Just to see, not realizing on this ordinary day, everything was about to change. Church, I declare, I believe there is a change coming on this ordinary day. I believe God's got something spectacular for you on this ordinary day. I believe a miracle is going to come to your house. It's tied to your pursuit. But as you pursue the King of Kings, as you pursue the Lord of Lords, as you pursue the Ancient of Days, he will meet you. And your life will be forever altered and changed. What do you need from the Lord today? Do you need a miracle? He's the miracle maker. Do you need freedom? He's the one that breaks the change. Do you today need a touch in your life? He is here. He is here. Will you pursue his presence? As GT Worship leads us, I'm going to challenge.